welcome to Hype episode 38. We're recording at just the right time this morning. 10 minutes before we started recording, we got our first look at the Sherlock Christmas special. Not for this Christmas, for next Christmas. Still a long ways away. And then right when we were about to hit the record button, Universal decided to release the first Jurassic World trailer 2 days before they were supposed to. So that's why we're starting a little late today. Anyway, Selena, Marima, Josh, who's working on the Jurassic World trailer post for the first few minutes of the show.
No one's supposed to know.
Shattering the illusion.
We're all here to break it down today. Marima, of course, I don't know. Are you in front of a green screen? Or are you visiting Kyle's apartment?
Casa de Kyle.
There's a lot of...
Kyle-like stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell it's Kyle's because there's things everywhere.
Because it's very male.
Mm. Don't conform to gender binaries.
Very gay?
Well, I mean, very Disney, anyway.
Very Disney.
Just be grateful you can't see what's happening on, like, this side of the apartment.
Okay. I'll count my blessings. Mm-hmm. As always, we are live on Google Hangout. We usually record this on Thursdays, but we're recording Tuesday this week. And people who are watching live can use the Q&A button on within the Google event page to submit questions while we broadcast live, and we'll read them on the show. So, of course, we're going to talk today about Mockingjay Part 1 because it hit theaters this past Friday, and since Hypeable has a big Mockingjay audience, we wanted to dedicate a good portion of today's show to the film. So, has everybody seen it here?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. I surprised Marima by taking her to a screening last week. She was very excited.
I heard.
I literally jumped in the air.
Yeah.
And then on top of injured.
She got really... She started touching me. I got uncomfortable. I was like, this is too close.
Yeah, it was too much.
I thought it was a really good film. The reviews have been mixed. But in terms of a part one movie, I thought it was great. So let's start with that. Was it a worthy part one film? Was it a good part one film?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why? Was it good? See, Marima, one thing that Marima said to me was that it had a good, coherent story.
It
really did. And I think because it's funny because a lot of the criticism has been that not much happens in this film. And I don't think that's true. Like, obviously, this is coming from someone who's read the, you know, Mockingjay, and they know how much is going to go down in the second one. But they made the first one really feel like a proper movie. You know, it had a cliffhanger, sure, but it also had a beginning, middle, and an end. You know, it had the search for PETA, and they had the you know, discrepancy between Coyne's agenda and Katniss's agenda. And I think it was really good. But, honestly, and it took time to explore, like, the softer side of the story, too. Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like Katniss had a journey at all, other than that she was dealing with PTSD?
I don't think she did in the book either. Like, that's
I didn't read Mockingjay. I stopped before that. So I think I was... I know a lot of people will devalue my opinion based on the fact that I didn't read the book. But I just mean fans in general, you know. And so I thought... I was like, Katniss really didn't go anywhere in this film. And even emotionally, you know, she still is screwed up, maybe even more than she was, you know, at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's a running theme. You know, but I think that's kind
but
of actually
screwed up for the rest of the
and I think that's sort of the point of the really frustrated me about the book, and I don't know how the rest of you feel about it, is that Katniss is not in charge of the story at all. Katniss is being pushed by everyone else into the direction that they want her to go in, basically, and she doesn't have any say in what happens in the book, really. At least not in the first half, and I think that came across, and you felt the frustration that you felt reading the book of, like, come on, Katniss, just do something huge and matter, but she doesn't, and that's very interesting, I think, and a really good angle.
The reason I liked this movie so much was that it took advantage of the extra time, taking things out of only Katniss's perspective. We got to see President Snow. There was that great moment when he hears about Katniss being in District 8 and he says, bomb the hospital. Like, that's something you didn't get in the book. And then same thing, of course, the biggest moment was when they broke into the Capitol to save PETA. That's something else that's not in the book. It's just glossed over in the book because the story is from Katniss's perspective. So it was understandable when Suzanne Collins wrote it. But it was just the perfect thing to be added to the movie. So I think that they really took advantage of expanding the story. There were still a couple things, though, that I didn't love. But first, let's talk about best scenes. Hanging Tree. That was up there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And that song now, whenever it just like touches my mind, it's stuck in my head for another 3 hours.
Oh, it's
but you
so
know,
annoying.
You know what's annoying about that scene, though, at least in my cinema, because I watched it, obviously, in Denmark, and I think it's a little fun fact is that Danish people are very cynical and don't really have a lot of patience for, like, you know, like, characters sort of breaking out into a cappella song, no matter how emotional it is. So everybody was cracking up in my cinema.
Oh, really?
And I don't know if, but she started singing and it went on and it felt like the scene, I liked the scene, but in the cinema, it felt really uncomfortable because everyone was like, oh my God, when's she going to stop? This is so embarrassing.
It
was really funny.
That did not happen in our screening. Yeah. Everyone was like,
yeah.
Like super emotional.
It's interesting. Like, I've seen it twice now. And I noticed this with all movies. Every theater is different with, like, the scenes that they laugh at. There's always, like, one or two things that everybody always laughs at, but there's always differences in how the theater reacts. And I did notice that in the two different theaters I saw this in.
I loved What's-Her-Face Coin.
Yes.
I think she was fantastic, like Julianne Moore. They put lenses in her eyes, which meant she always kind of looked a bit weird, but she was so good, and she was so much more sympathetic than in the book. And
yes.
I really liked her.
Which
that
is
was
good.
A really good change, I thought.
Because that'll make for a bigger surprise in part two, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and also I think just in case, because the revolution and the people that are doing the revolution, it's such a big part of the movie because obviously in the book we're in Katniss's head and everyone's the enemy unless they're helping her search for PETA. But in the movie, you're kind of like, you know, you have to understand that she's right, you know, Coin, in what she's saying. Not from Katniss's perspective, but you have to be able to see that she's not the enemy in the larger scale of things. She's only the enemy when it comes to Katniss's personal agenda. And I think they did a really good job making us sort of question whether our main character was actually the one we should be support. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I feel like it was really interesting.
Yeah, I think so. Especially because Katniss is so damaged in Mockingjay, and Coin is not. And Julianne Moore was so fantastic. I was raving about her once I got out of that because I thought she played that. She could have played it. It could have gone over the line, I think, of either you like her too much or she's too cartoony. And I thought she nailed it. Like, she got it so perfect. And I'm really excited to see how that develops in part two.
Another great scene was District 8. I mean, the whole thing with Katniss shooting the video. If we burn, you burn with us. I got chills both times seeing that. That whole scene really is just so good. I mean, Katniss walking into the hospital and them that guy going, "Will you stand with us? Will you fight with us, Katniss?"
I hope that guy.
My cinema laughed at that too.
Laughed? Well, they're not taking
this
seriously.
Like, "You're so cheesy."
Okay, note to self: never watch a movie in Denmark. It sounds awful.
We'll just laugh at everything.
I think the District 8 sequence was my favorite in the movie. And I really liked, I can't remember her name, but the actress who played Commander Paler.
Because
she obviously comes back in part two. I thought she was really good.
Every moment.
In Snow's 8 person?
No.
No, the commander of District 8.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
When you, every time one of the adult actors was on, Donald Sutherland, Woody Harrelson, Elizabeth Banks, Jeffrey Wright, every time they're on screen, I was just in heaven. They're such great actors. And that one scene.
Philip Seymour Hoffman,
of course.
What do you mean adult actors? Like, this is not a series that has, like, kid actors the way that Harry Potter.
No, I just mean, like, the older actors.
In story.
Yeah, probably. But I think, yeah. like, Jennifer Lawrence and Josh Hutcherson and et cetera, like, absolutely held their own compared to the old actors.
No, they do. Well, like, they do.
I didn't always feel that way, but I think that a lot of times I think it's because they're trying to be younger. You know what I mean? They're trying to be 17 or whatever. I think Katniss is 17, right?
Mm-hmm. Around mm-hmm. that. I don't know. I know. It's just seeing these.
I agree with Andrew.
Seeing these
the caliber yeah. is fantastic across right. the films, but I think like Jennifer Lawrence is maybe like we forget how great she is because. You know, we see her all the time now, or and you maybe know, she's like the funny girl other, in interviews.
Yeah, and maybe because she's like beside some of the best actors of all time.
Yeah,
yeah, but I think what makes the film so compelling is that Jennifer Lawrence does such an amazing job. I wouldn't like to, you know, underestimate her contribution.
I'm not Agreed. Debating that. I'm saying these legendary actors coming together. For this film, like when BT's hunched over the computer, when Katniss is talking to President Snow, and he's like, you know, come in, Mockingjay. I don't know, Mockingjay 1, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's just so badass.
He's great. Yeah.
Yeah. He's cool.
Love him. Okay, mm-hmm. So worst scenes. My two major problems, and this was inevitable when you're splitting this book into two movies. They're going to have things. They're going to do things to fill time. The double reveal of District 12 was a perfect example of something that should not have happened.
They did that shot twice.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, why are we doing this again? And we get Gale needed to have this moment, but I don't think we needed to see it. And it's like the same exact shot. And the first time you see it, you're like, what? why are we doing this again? And then my other gripe was the scene at the very end when Coin comes up to Katniss in the cafeteria and they have that little chat. It was just this extra filler. The first time I saw the movie, I was just like, all right, I'm officially feeling like this movie needs to end now. And then the next scene it does. But were there any other scenes you guys felt didn't need to be in there or were bad for other reasons?
I just felt like overall, I think it could have been like 20 minutes shorter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could have just been trimmed across.
It felt like it could be leaner, I thought, the whole time. Like, they could have done a little bit better.
And I don't mean to say that like a part one wasn't necessary. I think actually this film proved that it was a really good idea to split this movie, but I think they did stretch it out a little.
The interesting thing to me is that when you see both movies, like for Breaking Dawn or for Deathly Hallows, you look at it, the whole package, and you're like, wow, this really couldn't have been one movie. How, like, what would they have done if they were forced to make this one movie?
It would have been that feeling? Very more action-oriented story, I think, for all of them. I think it's a funny thing, you know, splitting movies, because we always say that, oh, they're just trying to get more money out of it, and I'm sure that's true. But at least the actual creative talent involved find a way to make it worth our time, you know, by having the time to get to know these characters.
I really feel this is the first one that has proved that it needs to be two. Like, when I watched Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2, I don't feel like it needs to be two films.
Oh, really?
And I think
the first time I didn't.
Well, I mean, it's not like I hate them or anything. I don't think it's necessary. And I think the difference is that with the Hunger Games series, the added scenes are so good and make sense for the story. Mm-hmm. And are necessary to complete the story, to make it, like Andrew was saying, the start of full narrative. And like they've shown again and again in every film that they really know what they're doing with that. So,
And maybe I was thinking the same thing, like you were talking about Jennifer Lawrence being able to hold her own earlier. And I think it's actually the first thing I thought when I came out of the cinema was if this had been almost anyone else, and it's not to say anything bad about the other young actresses in Hollywood, but if this had been almost anyone else, like spending 20-second shots looking at their face just wouldn't have been as interesting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's just, and I've never been really, it's funny because I've never been on the Jennifer Lawrence craze really because I think she's great, but I've seen the first few Hunger Games, I've seen the other movies she's been in, and I'll be like, oh, she's good, yeah. But this one, it just occurred to me that there's something, like her Katniss is a Katniss that you want to spend time with. And you know, when you see these scenes that you see an actor doing something and then you see her looking at them, and then you cut to her perspective of them, and it's this really long exchange that could have been cut down, but because it's Jennifer Lawrence, you want to see what she sees. You want to see, like, those, like, her expressions. You want all of that, and I think that Mockingjay took its time to give us that.
People who are watching our live stream right now are able to ask us questions using the Q&A button. We have a couple here right now. This is from Willow, 62442. Did any of you notice any scene where it was notable that Philip Seymour Hoffman was absent? I'm glad this question got brought up, because I have to say, it really shocked me how much he was in it. And not because
I was shocked too.
He died while filming, but they really added a lot of this character in. And this was this may have been a benefit of part one. Effie, of course, she isn't in this part of the story at all. And they added her in, which I thought was probably one of the best decisions they could have made with this movie. Because the movie's so humdum, drabby, you know, dark. And she just brought a lot of the comic relief and as much color as she could. But even Neffy.
Yeah, she tried.
So did you... I don't think... I think he got all of his scenes in for part one. It sounds like it's going to be part two that's the problem.
Yeah, I definitely didn't notice him missing everything. I felt the same way that I was surprised how much he was in it. Every time he popped up, I was like...
CGI'd into a couple of scenes because I was like, what? Like, how many scenes did they shoot with him? You know, just surprising.
Do you think he was?
No, I heard that they were unwilling, or that they wouldn't do it.
I think Francis Lawrence, the director, says that he has there were two scenes, big scenes, that he still had to shoot. But I presume they're for part two. And I think he said they're going to just kind of shift things around a little bit so other people can say his lines. So I don't think it's too critical. But they're not doing CGI.
Yeah, I thought he said he just didn't want to, you know, do anything like that.
No, it wouldn't been. It would take people out of the movie. Like, you would be able to notice that.
And his character is, like, not really crucial to part two anyway. So I don't think it would be difficult to rearrange things. It's really sad, but logistically straightforward.
While we're on the topic of questions, here's another one. Did everyone like the way it was split? This is from Carlos. I listened to spoilers. I guess he means the score or something. And it seems like a strange place.
Oh, he hasn't seen it yet. He's just listened to spoilers of Wordsmith. But you know, it's funny. You know when he jumps on her and the screen goes to black and everyone, even in my cinema, my very skeptical cinema, went, and then there was silence. But then it came back, and I was so glad it came back because ending it on the cut would have been too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I thought the added scene where they did end it was really. Was a really good decision on their part because they would have just had the shock value if they had ended it right after when they cut to black, and it would have felt a little cheap, I think.
Yeah, it wouldn't have felt like enough.
And that last scene with Hutchison was so good. So, I thought that was the perfect place.
And as I think I discussed with Marima, it was good. Like, in the book, it's just that moment when Peeta attacks Katniss is just a blink and you miss it. It's like one line in the book. But then in the movie, they expanded it a little bit, which I thought they had to do and was a good idea.
That was like with her eyes and everything. That was insane.
Oh, yeah. That was intense.
Mm-hmm. One more question, and then we'll talk about the box office. Anne says, am I the only one who thinks this trilogy works better as movies than books?
I kind of agree. Yeah. I was thinking about this today, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, I kind of agree. And I think it's because of the added scenes and because... Like, Suzanne Collins is a fine writer, and the Hunger Games books are fine books, but they're not, like, the best books ever written. And there's something nice about the way that these movies are externalized and take you outside of Katniss and show you things that she can't show you in the books because they're from Katniss's perspective. I really appreciate that more and more with each film, I think.
Actually, I think that Hunger Games is probably one of the series that I felt work best both as a book and a film. Like, there's no... Like, I feel the book stands alone. That's rubbish. The book works, and the movie works, is what I'm trying to say. Like, most books, you get an adaptation, and it can be a great adaptation, you can have great acting, but it really is just a book on screen. But because the book is so confined to Katniss's headspace, and we get that sense of isolation and claustrophobia, and we sort of get frustrated with Katniss when we read the book because she's caring about all the wrong things. And then you get the movie, which, like you said, you get to see the other tributes, you get to see the other people involved with this, you get some other perspectives. But I think the book, like that claustrophobia of the book being in first person and experiencing it as it happens, is really, really good and really unique as well.
Yeah.
So I like that. I wouldn't want to live without that.
I don't.
I love the books as well. Sorry, I didn't mean to like hate on the books. I'm like the biggest Hunger Games fan. I adore the Hunger Games books. But
It's like we've switched right now. It's weird.
Right. I think I would agree with you. Like they work as two separate mediums really well, like exclusively from each other.
But I think most people are going to agree that Mockingjay movie presumably is going to be much better than the book because many people did not like the book.
And, including me. Yeah.
When you have a good filmmaking team like this, they've obviously proven themselves, particularly with Catching Fire and now Mockingjay Part 1 to some extent. I think we're going to see a more concise story with Part 2 because a lot of people accuse the ending of Part 2 or Mockingjay to being a little messy in the writing. So I think people are going to really like
what they do.
I think people are going to really like the second half of Mockingjay better on screen.
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing before we move on?
Absolutely.
I was just going to address, like, it was a critical review that I read in The Guardian the other day that I thought it was interesting, and I just wanted to bring it up here, which is that they didn't like the film. Like, they gave the film 2 out of 5 stars because they said that the movie was too young adult because instead of focusing on the big war issues, it focused on Katniss's sort of selfish search for PETA. And I just wanted to bring that up because I was wondering what you thought of that, because I said this on Twitter too, I thought it was so stupid because it completely missed the point of having Katniss as the point of view character, because Katniss is going to care about PETA, but we know that other stuff is important as well, and that's why, you know, we have this interesting juxtaposition of not this hero rushing into battle and saving the world, but this very internalized character who's faced with all these things that are bigger than her. You know what I mean? Like, so I was just so mad at this review because it was just such a slap in the face to young adults.
Yeah, I'm like at the point right now where I can't even read reviews like that because I'm not interested in reading opinions of uninformed, elitist, like patronizing people who just look down on the genre or like, you know, the area of young adult because it's something that maybe they don't see as important. And like you said, I think that totally misses the point of the entire series. So good job to that person. Really well done.
My other half, while supportive of YA, of course, did not like Mockingjay Part 1 because he thought that PETA or that Katniss was too focused on PETA and thought it was about
That's what
everything.
This review said as well.
Yeah, but like he of course likes YA, at least I think so, or we'd have major issues. yeah, he just did not like the movie at all. And I was like, I think you need to reread the book because I think you're forgetting.
Missing the point of yes, she does care more about PETA, but we know that. Move on. You know, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And they did amp that up a little for the movie because they used that to form the narrative, like to make sure that it was a complete narrative, this search for PETA.
Yeah.
While still having cliffhanger. So, you know,
that was kind of
I get it. If you're not like super into that, that makes sense.
That is,
but I think it was necessary.
That is the point of this Part 1 film. That's the story here. And now that story is complete to some extent. And now Part 2 will be more about taking down President Snow.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. Box office wise, don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do want to say Mockingjay has the biggest opening weekend of 2014. However, not the biggest Hunger Games film. It's the smallest so far, and it probably will be, which is not too unexpected because that's just what happens with Part 1 films. People are less interested in seeing them because it's not the finale. And casual, I won't even say casual.
Was Potter that way? I can't remember.
I think it was. I think so.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, let us know. So I don't think it's a problem. I think Lionsgate probably expected it. It's not going to, it's certainly not going to beat part two box office wise. A lot of people are going to go see part two, even if they're not really interested in the Hunger Games, just because they'll be curious to see how it ends.
Yep.
Part one obviously doesn't. Part one obviously isn't like, oh, I got to go see part one because, you know, there's no like killer reason to go unless you're right. a fan of the movies to begin
a
with.
A huge nerd.
Yeah.
Deathly Hallows part one actually had the highest opening of all the films before the last film.
Oh, interesting.
125 million opening.
See, that J.K. Rowling. And
cash cow.
We've actually spent a lot of time on our thoughts, and we've spent 25 minutes on this. So maybe just want to, well, I'll skip. We had a little article on the site. We were asking people to leave some of their thoughts about Mockingjay. Let's see here. Yeah, we'll just skip those. You can read fan reviews online if you want, on Hypeable if you want. I do want to mention, though, that Lionsgate announced a Hunger Games stage show coming to London in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Where's my article about this? So they're building a special theater just for this stage show. It's going to be in London to start. Presumably, it's going to come over to America. I'm not sure why it's starting in London. It seems a bit strange to start over there. Let's see here. It's going to be produced by Broadway's Robin DeLaVita, who has produced Broadway shows like Titanic, Footloose, The Music Man, 42nd Street, Into the Woods, Dracula, and on London's West End, where he's going to be working on this Hunger Games show. He produced The Who's Tommy, Chicago, West Side Story, and The Full Monty. He won a Tony Award for Titanic, Best Musical, 42nd Street, Best Revival, and Into the Woods, Best Revival. So, I don't know. What do you guys think of this?
Not into it.
Not into nope. it.
I really would like it to be like a martial arts kind of show where people are just like, "Grr!"
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, how are they going to do any of this? It makes no sense to me.
Well, it's going
to be very conceptual. Like, how are they going to go about it?
Mm-hmm. This is like another new trend in how do we expand these franchises. I mean, this type of thing has been around for a while with some movies. But, you know, last year we learned that there's a Harry Potter one in the works. That one at least has new information. It's going to be Harry's years before Hogwarts. Just still weird to say.
Which is so sad.
But yeah, this one...
It plays with little things, toys.
I guess, you know, the themes of rebellion and rising up against the government, like those themes will be very prominent over the next few years. So I guess it'll be interesting for people to see for that reason.
Right. But like, aside from the recreation of Les Mis, like, how are they going to do the entire other sections of the story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't understand. And I also feel like all of these things, like, this just feels like the theme park as well. Like, it kind of it reduces it and it trivializes it, which goes against the entire message of the series.
Right. That's
so
the thing.
I wonder if these people have even read them. Or, like, read the Spark Notes or something, guys. Like, it would be in the first sentence.
Well, that's why this series in particular is so so fragile to play with. Because anything that Lionsgate does is basically going against what you see in the story.
Right.
Yeah, they're being the capital more and more when they do this. And it's so ironic.
Yeah. I think you have to give them a little bit of leeway when it comes to things like merchandising, because, you know, that's just the world. But extra things like this feel ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I feel like when the first movie came out, before people really saw how big this franchise was going to be, it was weird to call yourself a fan, because you're essentially saying, oh, I'm a fan of, I love the Hunger Games. You're saying, wait, you're a fan of kids killing each other, killing other kids?
Yeah.
Of course, no. They're a fan of the story and what Katniss believes in. But still, it's kind of weird to say.
I should stop saying that then. I feel like 15 times a day.
No judgment here. By the way, this isn't the first time that this isn't the first expansion of the Hunger Games franchise. We also know that there's going to be a traveling exhibition that's going to launch in summer 2015. Just like,
but that makes more sense.
Yeah, like movie props. Like,
right. That makes total sense. That's like a behind the scenes thing. That's the exact kind of thing that they can do with this. But like stage show, theme park, things that expand narratively or try and translate it to different mediums in that sense don't work for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all we have to say now about Mockingjay. Part 2 is less than a year away.
Yay!
Get ready. So
like when is it coming out, the second one?
A year to the day. I think it's November 20th, 2015.
I'm already excited.
Well, the midnight box office on that opening weekend will surely be huge. And I can't wait to see how they promote it, because the promotion, once again, for this film, the marketing, you know, the posters, those teaser trailers with President Snow and PETA and Joanna, those were so good.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the worst moment when they filmed the propaganda thing and then they used their same like whistle thing with the logo that they use in their own promotional material.
Oh, that's right.
No, it was too meta. I didn't like it.
I liked it because it was meta.
I was like, what, you guys just couldn't be bothered designing one more entry?
Broke the fourth wall or whatever.
Yeah. It was a little too much for me.
Yeah. I completely agree. We're so used to seeing those posters. Marima has one right behind her on the wall.
Do I?
Yeah.
I thought it was
I do too. I'm going to steal it while Kyle isn't here. Oh, there's another one over there. I'm going to steal both.
Okay, so let's talk about the Jurassic World trailer. That was just released before we started recording. So people who are watching live probably maybe didn't get a chance to watch it yet. I didn't watch it yet either. I'm seeing some feedback on Twitter that it was very CGI heavy.
I mean, it's dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's a Jurassic
dinosaurs.
Well,
what do you expect?
Well, because with Jurassic Park, a lot of them were animatronics, whereas these, some people seem to be worried that it's going to be too CGI.
That would look all over again.
See, you guys, the younger generation.
That's not going to happen in this film.
This is a younger generation problem. You're all used to CGI. I just follow older people. They're like, oh, give me back the animatronics.
No, I like animatronics and stuff like that, especially with like the Lord of the Rings films. I like the miniature sets and stuff. But with Jurassic World, it was always going to be CGI. So.
Yeah, I guess so. So was it a good trailer?
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was good.
That was all right.
Chris Pratt plays a serious role. It looks, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he does with that.
And it looks like there's
I hope he doesn't die. I couldn't take it.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I bet he dies in this. This is going to be awesome.
But then what about then the sequels?
Then he won't die.
What about Jurassic Universe?
Yeah, they want him for the sequel. Unless they do a prequel.
Nah.
Wait.
Jurassic, I follow I'm a theme park enthusiast.
This is your movie. It looks like you're just in a theme park.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, I follow Inside the Magic on Twitter, great theme park site, and they were pointing out some of the aspects that look like it's Disney World, or there's a scene that looks like SeaWorld with a big tank. They even have like magic bands, like the new things at Disney World. So, yeah, I think I'll be excited for it. Looks good to me.
There's an awesome scene where they hold a great white shark as bait over a huge water tank.
Oh, cool.
And I won't spoil it, but it gets eaten.
No.
You just spoiled it, damn it.
So that's Jurassic World. It comes out in June. I'm a big fan of the first Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I saw the other ones.
The music's really good in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like Bryce Dallas Howard that much, just in general, but,
Not into redheads?
Be okay.
I like her.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, what did you say, Andrew?
Nothing. It wasn't worth it.
Oh.
So, in other trailer news, this one I think is definitely coming out on Friday. Star Wars: The Force Awakens. This is going to be an 88-second preview. Apparently, John Williams himself has scored some music for this trailer. It's going to first be screening at 30 theaters in the United States on Friday. I think I have this right. Every movie in the theater on Friday.
Every movie, actually, the whole weekend.
Okay, right. And then in December, it's going to be screening all around the world, you know, in front of movies. Yeah. Like with
Wait,
Hobbit.
I'll be in the United States on Friday. I can go and see this in a cinema. This is so exciting.
You can go to the Irvine one. That's kind of close to you.
Let's go.
Will it be possible to get a ticket? Like, how many people are going to go see this, do you think? Well, like, sold out lines or no?
I don't think... Well, I mean, since it is across all movies, I think it shouldn't be too hard. If you buy your tickets now, you just buy your tickets online now, right? So it shouldn't be too hard to see this.
Do you think that it's going to be released online, officially released online this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. Because here's the thing. Every one of these theaters... People are going to be filming the screen, and it's going to be on YouTube.
If they don't release it, it's going to come out anyway.
That's what I.
And all these bad quality versions are going to be out.
Right.
Be like,
they would rather, because that just reflects poorly on the film.
Which makes me wonder.
Have a high quality.
Which makes me wonder what's the point of putting this in front of theaters in front of
movies. Because it's exciting.
Well, and there's tons of people that don't look online, surprisingly enough.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy people who don't live on the internet.
People don't use the internet. Old people.
But,
right, what other movies are showing? Like, movies for the pensioner crowd, and then Star Wars, like, plays in front of it. That's who they're
coming to. They will remember it from
exactly, from their youth.
And they'll be like, he changed Yoda, he's CGI now.
Well, we're joking about it, but the first trailer for the first Star Wars movie...
Oh no, Yoda died. Sorry, I take that back. I'm a bad fan.
The first trailer for the first Star Wars movie... I don't know the details, so I apologize, but it screened in front of a movie, like a particular movie, and it was a big deal. Some people are bringing this up yesterday because this thing that's happening this Friday kind of harkens back to that. So I guess that may be part of the reason why they're doing this. But the trailer's got to be online Friday. It would just be crazy if it wasn't.
Well, I also kind of feel like adults that might not know about the Star Wars, like, older adults that don't know that they love the films originally, but now they have kids and stuff. I feel like they might not know that there's even Star Wars movies being made. I'm saying like pretty old, like in 60s, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, I think they're trying to make sure that they don't miss out. Yeah.
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 I don't know if I'm more excited for the trailer or for new John Williams Star Wars music.
Probably John Williams.
Possibly. I'm pretty excited for the trailer. But John Williams!
Oh, imagine.
Is it a trailer we already know about?
Well, there was a description, and, you know, we don't know if it's true or not.
No.
Yeah, let's not bring it up in case it's not legit. So, I mean, it's been busy... month for trailers. I guess it's because like the holiday films are coming up, so it's a good time to preview your movies. Pitch Perfect 2 trailer was also released. It starts with a great version of Cups. All the girls are singing it. And then we get some new footage. It looks really funny. I mean, it looks like more of the same, and that's not a problem. That's a good thing. So, but one thing it didn't clue us in on is what songs will be in Pitch Perfect 2. So
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I guess, but I really want to know. I'm dying to know.
In my theater, during the Mockingjay screening, I think more people were excited about seeing that trailer than they were at the movie.
Yeah, I think you're
like,
right.
People just screamed. Like, there was a lot of women in my theater, and they just screamed like crazy.
I forgot to mention this. At the end of my screening, or at the end of seeing it on Friday, some girl in the front goes, "That sucked!" And she just yells it. And then everybody starts yelling. I don't know if it's because she was upset with what happened to PETA or she just didn't like the movie. I don't know. But people were crying laughing after PETA got beat up.
Well, when the first blackout happened in my screening, everybody went, "No," like, "Oh," you know. And then when it finally ended, like one person clapped and then everybody else laughed.
Oh.
That's cute. Like,
It was just one like.
Yeah, it was like one clap. And like one other friend clapped, and then no one else did. And it was
my
like...
mother always does that when I go to the cinema with her. It's so embarrassing.
Claps?
Like,
and no one else does it.
Oh.
It's funny. But you know, I had those noisy.
Your
girls
mom yells,
like 14.
"This sucked at the theater."
No.
That's so rude.
But no, those 14-year-old girls sitting behind me who were chatting the whole movie, and when we left, they were like, "Oh, this
some...
is so stupid." Yeah. But I think they just didn't get it. Like, I think they were too small and stupid.
I had some younger.
You ruined the film for me. I'm so
are we talking about Mockingjay or the Pitch Perfect trailer?
Mockingjay. Not the movie.
I was like, they didn't get it? What's to get?
The singing?
Josh?
What?
Yeah.
Just packed. Were your theaters super packed?
Yeah. What was your similar experience, Josh?
Oh, that when I said when it went to black and like everybody moaned, and then when it went to black, like the one person clapped and nobody else, everybody else laughed. I was just saying it was just funny that nobody else clapped and they just laughed at him.
So there's another trailer, Cinderella. This is the movie starring Lily James. It's going to be a live action princess movie. It looks fine, but the entire plot of the movie is in this trailer. It's like the whole thing.
We had this conversation. The plot of Cinderella is not secret. Everyone in the world knows the plot of Cinderella.
Yeah, but it's like, why not build a little suspense?
That they didn't change anything. Or...
Maybe they will. They won't.
Maybe.
Well, it's possible considering Maleficent had a big change. For Cinderella,
But Maleficent wasn't Sleeping Beauty. Wasn't a Sleeping Beauty trailer.
I know. Yeah, and the whole marketing push behind Maleficent was, you know, think you knew.
I mean, I'm not going to see Cinderella. I don't know why I'm arguing with you about this. It looks terrible.
Looks so formulaic, like you said, bland. Andrew. It's so,
The most bizarre part was seeing Helena Bonham Carter not dressed like a creepy old woman.
Yeah, looking beautiful.
Right.
I wasn't used to that. It's like, this is jarring. This takes me out of the film.
Yeah.
Now I have to go watch Sweeney Todd to cleanse myself.
Or any other movie that she's ever been in.
Or Harry Potter. Okay, so that was Cinderella. And, This one. The Insurgent teaser trailer was released a few weeks ago, actually. This is our first real look at Divergent, the Divergent sequel directed by Robert Schwentek. And it was bizarre on all counts because it is CGI heavy. It's a scene that sort of happens in the book, but not really. It's one of those sequences that takes place in Triss's mind.
Simulation. Simulation.
Yeah, one of those types of things. And just the problem with it is the casual viewers, I think even fans, they don't know what this is.
No, what the hell's going on?
And it's trying too hard. It's one of these damn trailers that once again says everything will change. Why is it that to market a movie we have to tell? It says right in the trailer, the title cards say nothing will ever be the same or some grandiose statement like that. I'm playing it again right now, but it's like why does this really sell a movie these days? Telling people that the entire world is going to change.
But what's so dumb is that they make us care. Like they spend the whole trailer making us care about a character who A is already dead and B like. Mm-hmm. Is only probably in the movie the scene.
Yeah.
So it's so dumb.
It says, this spring, the world will never, and then be the same. Oh, God.
It'd be funny if it was like, the world
CGI
will be
fire
exactly the same.
Everywhere.
Yeah,
if the world changed because of an Insurgent movie, like, I'm done. I quit.
Look, I like this series. I like this fandom. I thought Divergent was a really good movie, but I'm nervous about this sequel. I wrote a piece after this trailer came out, recycling some comments. I interviewed the director of Divergent, Neil Berger, when Divergent came out. And I said to him, because at that point we had already known that he wasn't going to be directing Divergent. So I said, what is your advice for the Insurgent director? And at that time we already knew it was Robert Schwentek. And he said, keep it real. And he was talking about the fact that they shot in Chicago. They didn't do much CGI. He said there are too many sci-fi films that rely heavily on CGI. And then you just look at this trailer, and it's just nothing but CGI. And it's just confusing. Even the book readers.
Actors.
I think they're just trying to – the point of this was to intrigue, but it just confused.
Yeah.
And it didn't look good either.
It looked strange. Yeah, it looked like
really
the CGI was bad.
Yeah, and I guess that's probably the point in the film, it's meant to look fake, but out of context, it just looks like it's poorly made.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'm not giving up on the movie yet. I think we started on the wrong foot.
Do you think this scene will be in the film? I wonder if it'll be in the film.
That would be really funny.
Yeah, what if this is like that viral marketing?
That's what I'm saying, because it's so jarring and so bad. Like, I just don't know if it'll be in the film.
That's a good point. Maybe nobody realizes this, that this is just some viral marketing, just like live.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Because then, like, they could have done anything. If this isn't even a scene from the film, like, they could have done anything.
When I saw it, I just thought they made this, like, as promotion, because it just looked like such a bizarre CGI fest. It was like,
it'd be really funny if they just released these like shorts that are completely nonsensical and stupid. Like, she's battling dinosaurs in one, and she's like,
the next one. World, really.
Yeah.
Just
doesn't inspire confidence.
Look at Jaylene Woodley.
In the next trailer, she's battling stormtroopers.
I watched that one.
Well, the movie comes out in March, so we only have about 4 months to go. So,
oh, the one movie that's actually coming out soon, other than all the rest of these.
Yeah. Well, Cinderella comes out in March, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Some superhero...
Like all this news comes out, and then like movies aren't coming out for a year and a half.
Oh, yeah. Something. Yeah, like Star Wars. It's still a year away.
Yeah.
We found out that Wonder Woman is going to be directed by Michelle MacLaren.
People aren't nearly excited enough about this.
Oh,
she's
you think
an
people
incredible,
should be...
incredibly
she?
Talented person. She's like directed on Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones, and
Walking
all
Dead.
The like. She's done some incredible writing and directing and producing as well.
And this is a big deal. You know, her skill set aside, or that resume aside, this is of course going to be the first female superhero movie, which we've discussed before, and then Warner Brothers did make it a priority, after all, to have a female direct this, which is really good. And she seems like the perfect choice. Everybody who knows her seems to be super excited about it. So.
Yeah. No, and I think her being a woman isn't even the main thing. I think it's that she's incredibly talented. And now she's going to get the spotlight. You know, television directors and producers and writers especially don't always get the recognition that like film directors do.
For
so
sure.
I think that with her becoming...
Especially TV directors, they don't get anything.
Like now that she'll be a big, you know, like Wonder Woman's director, I think everybody's going to be like, wow, she's great, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but the fact that she's a woman is also exciting and important.
Oh, yeah. I just don't want to take away from that she's been so great on these other shows, too.
I think she's a fantastic director, but we shouldn't understate, like, it's a big deal that they're allowing a woman to direct
I wrote an article about
movies.
About the, you know, Wonder Woman having a female director. So I think it's great.
A little Fantastic Beast news, a teeny tiny bit of Fantastic Beast news. David Heyman now confirms that J.K. Rowling's script is complete for Fantastic Beasts. So, there's not much else to say other than he says it's wonderful. So I guess that's good. I'm glad he didn't go for fantastic.
It's funny, he was like, it sucked.
Really bad.
Not as good.
This movie sucks. I'm out. Peace out.
Yeah, because this is their first screenplay, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other interesting thing that he said, actually, is that they start filming next year, which I guess could have been assumed, but now it feels really real. And
it's
this,
so like, exciting.
And this also means they're going to be
exciting. Come on,
it is exciting.
It means they're going to be casting Newt soon.
Exactly,
it's going to have to come first, and then the supporting actors, which are going to be particularly interesting because we're going to finally hear more about what this story actually is.
Yeah, what characters are actually going to be in it?
Yeah, and I mean, imagine if we find out that like Dumbledore is in it or Grindelwald. People are going to lose their shit. It's going to be really exciting.
I don't want any of them to be in it. Don't ruin this for me. I'm
so torn.
Fantastic Beasts.
No, there's got to
be anyone else.
I would love a Dumbledore cameo. I'm not going to lie.
Well, like we plugged before.
Maybe like young Dumbledore played by
someone
else.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they'll definitely do it.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to.
Just like a young Dumbledore cameo who walks by the screen. He's like, I'm Albus. And then he like walks off.
I'm Elvis.
Not Elvis.
Oh, Albus. I was like, what?
Yeah. That would also be funny.
I think they'll want to do something to connect it fairly directly with
Harry Potter. And I think style-wise, it'll probably look a lot similar.
Yeah, I just mean like, similar to what they did in The Hobbit, where they have Frodo reading the story.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they can put that in all the promotional material.
That worked well in The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Linking them like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hypeable writer Kristen did this great article. I feel like we plugged this recently, maybe not. But she found 5 Harry Potter characters that we could conceivably see in Fantastic Beasts because of their age. Dumbledore, Mr. Ollivander, mm-hmm. Bathilda Bagshot, Annie Merle, and Professor Binns. So, like, out of those, I would say Dumbledore probably has the best shot.
Definitely. How about Ollivander? I think Ollivander is for sure, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they could use Ollivander, but they're going to want to put one big character who people actually recognize mm-hmm. in this film.
They could do like a Harry's grandfather or something.
They're going to want to like start it off with Dumbledore like looking in his pensive and being like, oh, like remember this story, and then like fade, Wayne's World style, and then flashback to Newt.
Yeah.
It's going to be something really bad like that.
Or a character time travels.
Oh, and that's the entire plot of the movie.
Yep.
They would be trying too hard.
Oh,
why aren't we writing this, Selena?
Yes, I know.
Let's write the parody.
Write your screenplay before the real one leaks.
Weasley is Newt Scamander in the past.
I was thinking about this yesterday while I was writing this David Heyman article. It would be so great if the Fantastic Beasts script leaks. I would love to read it before the movie comes out.
Yes, please.
And that happens, right? Because it has to get around.
They could forget at the Starbucks, sure.
Or in the back of a taxi. Didn't that happen one time with something?
Yeah, it did. I think that was that Twilight? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Doctor Who? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was a Doctor Who script.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Twilight. Why would I know that?
In The Hobbit news, Marima was very sad to hear Billy Boyd sing The Last Goodbye. This is the song
I
that's
haven't
gonna...
heard it yet.
Oh my god.
You're
so good.
You're purposely not listening to it, Selena, right?
What?
You're purposely not listening
to it. No, I don't
want to
know. I don't want to hear it until I see it. I'm going to cry so much.
So
you'll cry if you watch the video.
Well, his song from The Return of the King was just awesome. So I imagine this is probably good too.
Yeah,
it's so good.
But I didn't want to listen because I felt like when I watched the movie, I would just be seeing like him in this video. And so I was like,
well, the music video has a lot of scenes from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, does it?
Which is why it's really sad. Because it's like,
his is super
nostalgia.
Sad voice.
it's a really great song. But I understand if you don't want to listen to
emotional.
It. Emotional. Like,
that's what I meant. Not like,
Yeah.
He's a very emotional singing voice.
This was a really good idea to bring him back to do this.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm glad they did it. Yeah. They must still have a relationship, which is cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Glee is moving to Fridays. I don't think there's much to talk about with that, though, especially with this group of people.
Is that show still on?
Yes, it's still on.
Delete.
Game of Thrones. Charles Dance said in a recent interview that Game of Thrones may end with a movie.
He's old.
How is it even going to end?
Yeah.
Like, how? I don't understand. Like,
everybody
I cannot
dies.
See them either revealing the plot of the books or going in a different direction. I can't see either of these things happening.
Yeah, me either.
Well, so would the movie just have to wait until George R. R. Martin is done?
Well, they have to wait like 20 years. Like, kind of super slow. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I don't know, because whatever they do, they're going to get outrage from fans. Maybe they don't care. Maybe at this point they're just like, we're just going to do whatever we want. But because, if they reveal the plot of the books, that's going to make people extremely upset. Mm. And if they don't, then people are going to be like, why is this? What is happening? They're veering off like this. And if they don't tell us, then we're going to be, no matter what, it seems like they're going to lose.
I totally agree. But didn't they say recently that like they weren't going to wait for Martin, which I agree with you, I think is a poor decision. But and then at the same time, like, what else can they do? Because they can't just, like, hold off on
can
making
they?
Any...
Can they? Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, and get the same actors back and have them look the same.
But I guess that's why, like, the TV show really is a completely different animal at this point, and to some extent bigger than the books. That makes me sound like I don't really want to say that too loudly, but I guess
that's they
have
fair.
A responsibility to finish the story they started, and they have all these high profile actors, you know.
So what would you prefer, that they spoil the series, or that they do something different? Or that they do just one and you don't know? You don't know which it is.
No, I think I would prefer they do something different and I know. Because if I don't know, then when I start reading the last book, I'll be like, oh, I see where this is going. But
yeah.
But I also feel like they could, and if they do an alternative ending, because I feel like in George R. R. Martin's, like, everyone's just going to die and the world's going to collapse in a fire.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, the TV show could end in a positive way and we could have both, you know, positive. Yeah, right.
I think I would prefer something like a different ending, because otherwise you kind of feel like, what's the point of waiting? People are going to get mad. But, like, you know, what's the point of waiting if you know how it ends? Especially if you're going to be waiting like another 40 years.
Exactly. And let's face it, those books are so long. You know.
Well, I'm going to start watching one day. That's all I
have. You'll have time to catch up while they take a 20-year hiatus.
In 10 years, the Game of Thrones
they
movie.
They recast the entire thing, or they all come back like 20 years older, and you just have to pretend that they look the same.
Oh, in 20 years, they can CGI them all.
They'll all be CGI.
Yeah. I would love to see.
No longer exist.
I would love to see how well a Game of Thrones movie would do in theaters.
I would love to see one, but then at the same time, like, I feel like the TV show has proven that it's kind of impossible, because they need the time. They need the 10 hours.
Yeah. Well, not just
they split the movie into 3 parts.
Ooh.
Into 10 parts.
Oh, God.
Let's be real. That's what would
happen. So over parts.
And then they won't finish until George R. R. Martin is done anyway.
That's true.
You know what I've been thinking of writing lately? An article about how soon until they split not just the last book, but other books in the series. It's got to come at some point. I'm thinking the next big franchise, whatever that is. It's got to happen.
Did you hear that they're doing the King Arthur, like a new King Arthur movie, 7 movies, or 6 movies?
Yes.
Isn't there? It's crazy.
Yeah.
They could split Cinderella into 2 parts.
In a way, this has already happened with The Hobbit, because it was just 1 book, and they turned it into 3. So.
Yes. And that was a terrible decision.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I just don't know what I would write. So if anybody has ideas, let me know.
I've changed my mind.
I am excited for the last Hobbit movie.
I want to see the last one, but I'm not expecting much. Hopefully it's good.
I was pleasantly surprised by the trailer. It made me excited for it.
It did look good. Yeah.
Well, it's like a CGI job.
Now that's a CGI trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so Jurassic funny. World. Jurassic World looks fun.
Yeah.
One other piece of news today to discuss. This, like we said at the start of the show, just broke as we were starting to record. Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman are about to shoot a Sherlock special. We don't know what it is exactly, but they released a photo from the table read today, and Benedict and Martin are wearing top hats, and Watson is sporting a mustache. Somebody suggested this could be time travel.
No.
Like, you don't think it will, or God, that'll be so stupid.
I don't think it will. Would also be ridiculous.
Well, whatever this is, Martin Freeman has described it as mouth-watering, and it's supposed to air around Christmas next year. And it was written by Marquez and Stephen Moffat, so it'll probably be nice and confusing.
Yay, and sexist. Don't forget sexist. Yes,
<accurate. laughs> sexist. nothing to say about that. I guess
we don't know anything about it.
We
yet.
Don't, but like, what but the clues are it? In the clues are in the photo. Away. I think time travel is a good guess.
They're not gonna. They're probably just like going to the theater or something.
Yeah, or like in disguise, or like a costume party or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I don't think they're going to. People want it to be time travel or sci-fi because people want a crossover with Sherlock and Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like as possibly entertaining as that would be, it's never going to happen. Unless they do it for, like, you know, a comic relief special or something.
Mm. Well, this is a special of some sort, but Okay, well, enough about
that. I think that's Benedict pointing at. He's like, look, there's my career going much better than yours, Martin.
Look, there's another poster for The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Yeah, hey, I'm a dragon again.
They're getting dressed up to see for the premiere. What if they just wear that exact outfit to the premiere? We're going to be like, we were played. Okay, so to wrap up the show today, I just want to talk about a couple things that are coming up on Hypeable in December. Merrima is organizing a slew of great content. We're going to do a bunch of end of year stuff, right? We're also going to look back at Tolkien.
Yay! Retrospectives are super fun.
I'm really excited because we're going to do some articles about what could be next for the Lord of the Rings fandom. We're going to do some fun articles for the end of the year, like things we don't want to hear in 2015, things we do want to hear in 2015. So,
yep. We have a lot of preview articles for what's coming up in 2015, as well as looking back at 2014. And there'll be some serious things and some ridiculous things. So we've got you covered.
Cool. So I hope everybody here in the United States has a nice Thanksgiving, including Merrima.
Oh, nice Thanksgiving, guys.
Merrima, will this be your first Thanksgiving in America?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
My hopes are high, but I'm vegetarian, so I'm not sure how that's going to work.
You can have like tofu turkey, right?
Friends taught me that exists.
Turkey's not great anyway, so you're not missing out.
It's not. It's dry.
Yeah, exactly.
I eat the ham instead.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. As always, you can sound off on what we had to say on today's episode by visiting the article announcing this episode on Hypeable. And of course, there's links to everything we had to say we were talking about all around Hypeable. And I think that's it. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Josh Neely.
I'm Marima White.
And I'm Selena Wilkin.
See everybody next time for episode 39. Goodbye.
Bye.